This is Jesus Pop.
You know, Dad, all my life I've tried to convey my love to you in some special way. But each time I try, I become confused, for the right words are so hard to choose. My love to
Welcome to Jesus Pop, your Christian filter for everything pop culture. My name is Aris Buckner. I'm a Christian husband, father, pastor, designer, and nerd. And today's topic, we're going to talk about the Me Too movement. I feel like it is time. Not that I have been avoiding it or not wanting to do it, but I think a lot of it has been some insecurity on my part because I frankly am unqualified to talk about this in depth or in the ways that I feel would bring a lot of light to it. The number one reason is because I'm a man. And not that because I'm a man, I can't speak on issues like this. I can't share on issues like this. But I think this topic requires more sensitivity that I'm equipped with, more knowledge and education and frankly, wisdom than I'm equipped with, that can reach more and more people. Maybe I do a follow-up to this podcast and having my wife talk about it. She's a women's ministry leader in our ministry, and she studies the Bible with a lot of women on campus, on college campus, in kind of the demographic that I'm going to talk a lot about today about, and that has really the mantle now to move forward and to create a whole lot of change for the future of the next up generations. So I've been wanting to talk about this for some time now, for the past couple of months, really. And just felt like, man, I just need to talk about it. I need to take time out, because this is a podcast about pop culture. I say it in the beginning, welcome to Jesus Pop, your Christian filter for everything pop culture. And this is, I feel like there needs to put a Christian filter on this and all that's going on and how I've been responding and how I've been listening and learning and how the Spirit has helped me see what the Bible has been teaching and will continue to teach on the subject. So if you haven't noticed, this podcast is going to be a little bit more informal, not so much of a structure, but us just really talking and conversating about this topic. And we'll just talk. We'll talk about it and look at some scriptures and whatever help I can continue to push you into the right direction, I will. But, you know, it is one of those things that, again, I'll restate again. I feel very unqualified to share and teach. Not that I'm unable to, but just unqualified to. And hopefully you understand that. But so let's hop in. You know, 2017 was a huge breakout moment for women's rights overall. And we'll get into specifically kind of the Me Too movement and things have come out about that. And I think it's fueled by the Me Too movement. But this has been a growing, strong, fueled current for some time. And I feel like this was really 2017 was the moment, the watershed moment, to be cliche, or the breaking of the dam, or the falling of the walls of Jericho, to be more biblical oriented, that everything came rushing out in 2017 because of a lot of things, really the latter part of 2017. But, you know, we start 2017 off with the march in Washington because of president-elect and people diametrically opposed to his views, his character, him, and so you had the march, the Women's March in Washington. You have a lot of energized women and men to do something about it, to be politically charged, to get more involved. And this was one of those moments, like I mentioned earlier. I mean, it is one of those moments that I'm very fortunate to live through. you know, you hear stories, watch videos of like the civil rights, footage of the man on the moon, assassinations of various figures, president or like Dr. King. There's so many things that have happened throughout history that I've missed, and wondered how people felt about those moments. You know, Vietnam War, I would talk to people during that time and talk, you know, about what they felt and how they felt about their world and how so many of them were being drafted, especially in these impoverished areas that they were going to war and seeing their friends and classmates or family or brothers die because of a war they were questioning. So you had these different moments. And I think in recent memories for me as growing up, you had verdicts like the O.J. Simpson trial. You had things like Rodney King and the riots that went on. And I was in L.A. during that time, and it was scary. It was kind of, what is going on in our world? I'd witness, and I think my freshman or sophomore year in college when the 9/11 things happened. And I remember that vividly. I remember that going to leaving my house and hearing and watching the news, going into class, and the teacher was like, I can't teach today. And so there's very few times in our lives that we get to experience and see these world-altering moments. I like to say metanoia moments, a time of repentance, to use that biblical term. But I think the English word is limiting because, you know, it could be more of a military term about doing a 180, but that's not what metanoia is. Metanoia is a shifting of paradigm, a shifting of the way you think. I love the NLT's rendering or the NLT's version of what I believe is the definition of repentance in Romans 12:1. And I'll read that, you know, if you ever wanted to get an idea of what repentance is, I'd say Romans 12:1-2, really 12, Romans 12:2 is specifically spells it out. But I think one gives some really great foundation to lead into verses two. But the NLT, I love because I love the way they describe it and a way that Paul wrote this in 12:1, Romans 12:1, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he finds acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2 is where I want to focus on. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you'll be able to learn and know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And to me, that's repentance. That is the metanoia, in my opinion, definition of repentance. It's a transforming into a new person. And you think of becoming a new person, everything's new. Not just the way you look, not just the way you sound, not just the way you walk, but the way you think. Because that's the most important. I can change my dress, I can change my hair color. I even, you know, some people have attempted, and I won't name any pop stars, but have changed their skin color. But that won't change who I am if I don't change the way I think. That's where, you know, and Jesus talked about this in the Gospels. And when we read in the Bible, when it talks about the heart, we know it's linked to the mind. Because, the heart is believed that the center of who you are and your emotions and everything come spewing from. But in Luke 6, Jesus talked about that. It says, out of a man's heart comes these evil things, right? He also taught about cleaning the inside of the cup if you want the outside to be clean. So this metanoia moment that we get to see in society, whether it's dealing with racism, whether it's dealing with abuse, and in this case for this podcast, dealing with sexism and harassment and abuse on some very disgusting levels, there's a metanoia moment as a society that we're having, particularly towards women. And it's refreshing. It's awesome. It's God. And there's a lot of other metanoia moments that's going to continue to come. But for us to really seize this opportunity and to really learn and let God teach us from it, I'm reminded another scripture in Hebrews 12 7 through 11, where God says he disciplines those he loves. And I think this is one of those moments. He's disciplining us, really, as a society, because he loves us. He wants us to be better. He wants us to grow. And again, I'm maybe stretching that verse a tad. But those are things that come to mind for me. But like I mentioned, that was a long kind of rant. But 2017 was really a breakout moment, going back to my original point. And really, me again sharing before, that literally the walls of Jericho came falling down, and the way of Harvey Weinstein and late 2017, with the different scandals that have been coming out with him, and all the drama and the craziness of what's been going on, that's been happening in our society. It's been wild to see what has been transpiring over the course of our time. I mean, literally, it's been the walls of Jericho, and everyone's come rushing in across our media and every corner of our mainstream media, whether, again, politics or movies, entertainment, news, institutions, college, Olympics, sports. It's all over the place. And we did see that. And that, again, fueled by the Me Too movement, some tweets, a tweet by an actress, I think it was Alyssa Milano, and had every of the women give their hashtags, and that just set a blaze of what we've seen, and we've seen politicians like Roy Moore situation, Al Franken, John Conyers. I mean, there's been so many different people that have gone, and a lot has come to light across those spectrums. Kevin Spacey, Louis C.K. I mean, it's been crazy to see what has been happening, and because of this. And again, it, like I mentioned, it's been like the walls of Jericho coming down. So, what do we do with all this? Oh, and I forgot to mention, just even again, as this podcast is being recorded, we had another thing of Rob Porter, who is part of the White House and White House staff, who has taken a step back because of things that come out from his previous, from his ex-wives about abuse and physical abuse, emotional abuse. So, I mean, it's a lot. And we're only 2 months into 2018. What else is going to come out? I think a lot more, because it's sin. At the end of the day, it's sin. And Jesus has been telling us, God literally has been telling us since the Garden of Eden, have been showing us, and we've been given examples of it. But what do we do with these things? What is this pointing to? What is this teaching us? I think it's teaching us a lot. I think the things that we've been seeing, I think the things that I've been seeing, I mean, I can only speak for myself. I'm not in your shoes. I'm not in your mind. But I know what it's been pointing towards me is a lot. And I've been going through the book of 1st and 2nd Timothy, or the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy, Paul's letters to Timothy, a young minister, young pastor, figuring things out, trying to deal with some harsh situations going on in the church. And I was just quickly reminded as I was going through 2nd Timothy, in chapter 3, where Paul kind of just rambles on just what society is going to become. And not that it hadn't become at that point in his time. I just think that the Holy Spirit was moving and said, hey, let me give you a picture of where things are at and will be at, and as they continue to progress. And I'm reading the NLT of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll spend a good portion of this. And again, like I said, it's very informal. I'm sharing some thoughts, and you know, it may have offended some of you. I don't know. Again, like I said, I'm unqualified to speak on this, but I, at the very least, I want to speak on this because it's important. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, I'm reading the NLT. It says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there'll be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but reject the power that could be made, that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They're the kind that work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened down by guilt and sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following the new teachings and they're never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth, such as Jannes and Jambres oppose Moses. They have depraved minds and counterfeit faith. But they won't get away with this for long. Someday, everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as James and Jambres. And I hope I'm pronouncing those guys' names. Anyway, those guys aren't doing much good anyway, so I don't care if I do pronounce it right. But here's, I mean, I don't feel surprised by a passage like this. I don't think it's like, oh, really? This is how society's like? I think I can look at this and say, yep, that's 2018. That's exactly 2018. And I don't think things were better before. I don't think that in the future things will get better. I think we may be more aware. And again, like I mentioned, from going through and seeing the change and metanoia shift, a metanoia moment that the Me Too movement is having on so many people, including myself, that I think there'd be more much clarity that's needed from us growing and learning more about ourselves, learning about our society. But I don't think it's getting better. I think clarity brings hope, but sin is going to be sin. I mean, we're not going to reach a point that we stop sinning. And as long as we're able to sin, there's going to be strife, there's going to be trouble, there's going to be what we read here: disobedience, ingratitude, pride, narcissism, hatred. I mean, it's all here. Reckless, pleasure seeking, religious, I mean, impure. I mean, it's all here. I mean, this is not me making this up. This is who we are as people. So again, my point, which, like, Richard, get to your point, bro. Where are you going? Well, my point is, this is the scripture that came to mind, not just recently, but in this past year, and seeing all everything that's been going on in our society. God has just uncovered this stuff. It wasn't like, oh, I'm shocked that people live this way. It's just God uncovered it. Again, things like the Larry Nassar situation and how many young women he abused. I mean, they're saying some just ridiculous number of like 150 plus, 160 abused girls, underage girls, by a physician, a doctor that the U.S. Olympic team put in place. This that's shocking, but then when you think about it, it's not, because sin is sin, and people have dived into some very disgusting times. And but this scripture really doesn't show. I don't think Paul's intent was, because I don't think Timothy was shocked by this. I mean, it's not like they weren't living this way in Paul's day. I think Paul was writing this to serve as a warning, to serve as a warning for me, to serve as a warning for you. Beware of this. He even says it in verse 5. He says, you know, the NLT says, stay away from people like this. I think some verses says, do not associate with people like this. So this scripture jumps out at me as a warning, saying, hey, Richard, be on the lookout. Don't fall for the societal Pied Piper and let it lull you to sleep by its progressive ways. And I don't mean that in a political sense. I'm meaning that we are learning from what the past has done, and we're so much more smarter than and more educated than we were back then. And I think in some ways that could be true, but we cannot get ahead of ourselves to think that we won't still go through pitfalls. And as a society, just trying to be a man in 2018 with all the struggles, whether when it comes to purity, whether it comes to my marriage, my parenting, I mean, I'm just trying to survive that for me. let alone our society. There, God is going to continue to show and expose, because again, sin is here on this planet. And 2 Timothy 3 serves as a warning to say, watch out for this. Stay away from people like this. Challenge, call out. I mean, at the end, he calls out those two guys who are part of the church, you know, or two guys are part of, you know, the Israelites during the time of Moses. We need to call people out. We need to challenge when we see these things. And that's so much about the Me Too movement. It's not just saying, hey, Me Too, I've been a victim. It's to call out those abusers, those oppressors of in this sinful way. I think as Christians, or just anybody, set aside Christianity, not that that's good to do, but aside from Christianity, anybody, we need to call out behavior like this. But as Christians, we need to call out all the behavior, not just abuse, not just the things that's been fueled by Me Too. And we do need it, and those things are very important. But we got to call out all these other things that we see on a daily basis. When was the last time you saw someone being ungrateful and disobedient to their parents? Are you calling it out? Have you been a lover of yourself? Narcissistic behavior. Selfish. You need to call it out. Reckless. Prideful. You need to call it out. Have you been loving and pleasure seeking more than going after a relationship with God? You got to call it out. We've got to sound the horn, blow the whistle. We can't be adamant and enraged when we hear these stories that fall in the Me Too movement and the abuse of these women. And like I said, Larry Nassar case, and be so enraged by that and not call out the sin in your life. Because you know what? Those things lead to that. You don't think pride was involved what went on with Larry Nassar? You don't think this guy thought, hey, I'm a doctor, I can abuse my power? That's pride. That's lover of pleasure. Unforgiving what he did to those girls. No self-control. It's all here in 2 Timothy 3. We need to call out these things before they lead to those things. The things we read about, the things that... We need to cut out these things while we have the opportunity. We see them. It's obvious. Before they go to those things that are hidden, those things that are destructive. In the case of Larry Nassar, man, 150 plus women that were girls at the time, young girls that are now, some are married, older women that have been scarred. How many other Larry Nassars are there? Prideful, pleasure-seeking, narcissistic, reckless, lacking self-control, that are going around hurting people. And we have opportunity to stop it before it gets to something catastrophic. So those are things that I've been thinking about. Again, I don't know what point or where it was going to go or where I wanted to take it. I just felt, man, I need to talk about it. And I hope this helped you. And as I am continually learning, as I'm listening and watching and taking it all in, for those who that don't get involved, I encourage you to get more involved and read your local newspaper, subscribe to a podcast, and hear all different spectrums of political opinion. And not just your own or whatever you're more, you know, akin to or grew up with. I love listening to both sides. I want to get it all in. I want to see what I can learn. And I encourage you to do that. But I would put out there, there's been a podcast that I've been listening to called Hidden Brain. And I'm not getting sponsored by them or anything, but it was such a powerful podcast on in light of this topic and why people on a psychological level don't speak up, or what's going on in there. And again, on a spiritual level, there's a lot happening there that the Bible talks about. But it was such a powerful podcast for me, And if you want to listen to it, I'll throw it out there to you. The title of the podcast was called Why Not? And talking about Israel Horowitz and another guy, another powerful, prideful, pleasure-seeking, narcissistic dude who's been brought down because of the sick behavior that he's had. And again, it moved me. I put that out there. But there's so much out there. Get involved. Be engaged. And like Paul giving instruction to a young minister like Timothy, be aware of this behavior. Call it out. Stay away. Don't associate. Help by challenging and shedding light on the situation. So those are my thoughts. I hope they help you. If you want to find out more about my ministry, you can click the social links down below. You can check out my lesson sermons, another material to help you. I'll have them all, the social links down there. You can click and explore, and you can find out more about me speaking on various topics, more kind of more sermon-oriented things that can hopefully help your walk with God. And like always, I'm always humbled, and humbled is the word. I mean, there's no other word I can find, but just humbled to be able to do this podcast and really help. And I hope it helps you. And, I'm grateful that you can tweet at us if you have any ideas or topics for us to talk about on our Twitter feed. Again, all the social links are down below. Again, like I always say before and in the podcast, I'm grateful for wherever you're at, whether you're listening in your car, you're at home, school, wherever. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for joining the conversation. Bye-bye.
So hard to chew. My loved. My loved. So hard to chew. My loved. My loved.